I see the little green lights moving, so I'm guessing you can hear me. I just got a phone call from one of our listeners, and I did not answer the phone because I was getting ready to go on the air. So if you want to call in and be on the air, give us a call at 740-383-9944. Scott, are you there?
I'm here. Were you being rude to the listeners?
I was being absolutely rude. I just ignored the phone call. Ah, here it comes. And now the phone is starting to ring, which hasn't been doing that for a while. I'm going to go to the phone.
All right.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I can't hardly hear you, but I just want to call in and tell. I just got a phone call. It's about funerals. I don't know because I can't hear you that well, but it's out of Texas, and they didn't have my last name right. But then he started asking questions like savings and stuff, and I told him you're not supposed to call because it depends on, I think, January. DeWine or somebody put in, we got 1.9 billion calls of these scammers last year, just Ohio. And there's the lieutenant governor, you're to report. A charity can call you, and I believe the political. And that's the only two that is allowed to call you, because I've been on the do not call list since 2008, but it doesn't work. Medicare had given me the inspector general's number because the federal trade and the PUCO can't do anything. And then I have to find that. I cut it out of the Marion Star. You report the calls to, I think it's the lieutenant governor or somebody, and I don't know if the telephone companies are going to be fined or somebody. So I have to find it again. I've lost it. But I want people to be, because he wanted me to answer yes or no or something. And he said, don't ever do that stuff. So I want people to be leery. You can report these people. I guess the inspector general, I had both of those numbers, is the ones to, I guess they take the information and go after them. So just be leery. And I told Medicare I got the back braces for years, and then I got the medical, diabetes, heart, and then they started to do the DNA where you do a swab. And she told me don't do that because you do the swab and send it in, insurance won't pay. And she says you could be charged up to $60,000 for that stuff.
Yikes.
So people need to be... of course, I told him I want your information because I'm going to turn it in, you know, later. And I said, where are you from? Because they sound like they're from India. And he said, Texas. But I don't know if he was or not. But I just want people to be leery because now they're starting the funerals. And once in a while, I'll get a credit card. You know, call me and I just hang up. But I get Medicare, U.S. Medicare all the time, and I don't know what they're peddling. But and they always say don't answer yes or no. And so when he said that, I said, no, I'm not even – I wanted to find out what he was doing. I said, I'm not even talking to you.
Well, I've
So I just want people to be careful. Don't say anything.
Sure.
And stuff. I was going to let him tell me about the funerals to see, but then he would probably want bank information to do it or something. And I said, no, I'm not doing this. So.
No, I would say if I, and I know you can't hear me very well, but listen, I having worked at a financial institution, if you don't know that person, if you haven't contacted them, hang the phone up immediately. Don't answer any questions.
Yeah, because usually I don't, but the phone numbers look like Marion anymore. 740, it'll be 3, and with the cell phones, the numbers are all different. Well, and since my car's in the repair place, I just picked it up. But if it says Texas and stuff, I don't pick it up because I'm tired of writing these numbers down. But so people be careful. Don't, if you know, don't pick it up because he was wanting like a yes or no answer. And I said, no, I don't, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
No, so,
please don't. Please don't answer any of those. And just because they're crooks and bad people doesn't mean they're stupid. They know how to get around a lot of this.
Yeah, because he said, well, I'm not the agent. First person, it was like, you answered, if you wanted to talk to somebody and stuff. And then they give me this guy, and he says, well, I'm going to have to put you on over to an agent. And I said, no.
Oh, no.
So, no. So I know they were wanting information, probably bank, if you agreed to do whatever it was so they could get in. And so I just wanted people to be leery because usually I get about 10 of these calls a day and stuff. Yikes. And when I see the state on my phone, I don't pick it up.
All right. Well, don't do that. Yeah, don't pick it up. All right.
Goodbye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Scott, we got to do something about these phone calls.
Yeah, got to be safe.
Yeah, but I'm having
and
a
hard phone lines are open. 740-383-9944.
I fiddled with all the little buttons and everything here, Scott, so I, to see if I could find anything that was wrong on our phones, but I couldn't find anything. But I did, for some reason or other, now we get the phone rings into the... It wasn't ringing before. It was just flashing. So, anyway, I hope I didn't screw anything up.
Nothing will work. There won't be any other shows on today.
I just canceled WWGH for a day.
Are you going to do the promo for today, Glenn, for all the great programming we've got coming up today?
Absolutely not, because I always forget it. You do it.
Here we go. Coming up after this show today, we've got A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble and Dr. Ron Feynman, 12:10 p.m., really. And then coming up today at 4:10 p.m., Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman. 5:10 p.m., we've got the show with No Name live at 5 with Pastor Craig, Nate Redman, and possibly Terry Tackett, depending on what goes on today. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon at 6:15 today. Don't miss a minute.
Sounds like fun. I'll have to listen, especially to that one at 12:15.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know. Terry, there's a little, I'm not around anymore, but I don't know what's going on at 5 o'clock. I don't know if Terry will be there or not.
Are you hearing a hum in the radio?
Yeah, well, I think I hit something.
Oh, okay. Don't hit anything. We're having a hard enough time with the phones.
I was messing with my buttons.
Well, I'm a little concerned that when Dr. Feynman calls in, he won't be able to hear us. Now, he has had problems in shows past where he says, I can hardly hear you. So maybe we got something wrong with our phones. I don't know.
Just talk loud.
Yeah. Now, we do have those two little amplifiers, and I pushed all the buttons on those little amplifiers several times, so I may have totally screwed up WWGH for the rest of our lifetime.
Well, I hope we're on the air.
Yeah, apparently we are, because that lady that just called in could hear us.
Here's what I want to say. By the way, I wanted to bring this up because I find this fascinating. Garth Brooks apparently played Cincinnati this past weekend.
He played the whole team?
What?
He played the whole team?
He did. He's 73 years of age, and he went out there and got it done.
Did he pitch and then run back to shortstop or what?
He certainly did.
Okay.
No, but the interesting thing to me was apparently He drew a very poor crowd on Friday night, and he came out and put on a very professional show and even acknowledged the fact that the crowd was low. I mean, what do you think's going on there? Has Garth Brooks seen better days? At one point, he was the guy.
Oh, that surprises me. It really does. I thought he still is the guy to some degree.
Well, he ain't the guy anymore, as they say, Glenn.
I'm sorry, Garth. You got to get on the popcorn festival stage then.
That's here's what I believe about a show like the Garth Brooks Show. And I'm not talking about people over 60. There's an age group like 40 to 50. I'm really even going to narrow it down to that. Maybe 30 to 50. And those people don't feel yet like their youth is gone. And Garth Brooks somehow resurrects that for them. But you aren't going to fill a stadium with that.
Well, it kind of depends. They fill stadiums with some of these really old farts that are coming on. The Rolling Stones fill stadiums still.
I think they
70s.
Have a greater appeal than, say, a Garth Brooks. When's the last time he released a song?
That's a good question, but the Rolling Stones haven't released anything in a long time either.
Yeah, but that's a cult group. I don't know if Garth Brooks has a cult.
He was awfully popular when he was big, and that wasn't long ago.
I think crowd size speaks to what happened.
It might have. Hey, by the way, I looked up your favorite deodorant, Lume. I'm not going to buy any. I just decided. $27 for deodorant?
I don't even understand Lume, so that's a whole nother thing. 26 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Has Garth Brooks seen better days? I mean, this is Cincinnati where this has happened. I don't know how he's doing in other parts of the country.
Maybe he needs to get some of that Lume because it makes all your parts smell perfect.
Well, there you go. I mean, at this point, I don't. What's a good Garth Brooks song? Can you even name one?
I couldn't when he was popular.
Well, there you go.
I knew he was popular. He was married to who was he married to? Somebody really famous. Oh shoot!
Yeah, so famous, they need not be named.
Well, you know me and my brain. I forget names.
Oh
all the time.
My!
But anyway, I liked Garth Brooks because I liked to watch his wife.
You just said you don't know any Garth Brooks songs, and now you're telling me you like the man.
No, I liked watching him because his wife would come on with him.
Were your ears on when you were watching him?
No, probably not.
Was he out there with his wife?
I don't have those little black ears anymore. I gave those up when I was about 13.
Was somebody out there with his wife?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up and see what her name was. I'm really feeling stupid.
Well, maybe he should have took her to Cincinnati, and he would have drawn a crowd.
Absolutely. Oh, me.
We do what we can.
Yeah, and I've got Garth up here, and there's no picture of his wife. That's kind of sad.
Does anybody know who Garth Brooks' wife is? Help Glenn along. 740-383-9944. And why do you think he drew a poor crowd? What happened there?
It easily could have been his publicity company kind of let the ball drop. I really have no idea. I would think that a person with the name Garth Brooks, which pretty much is a household name for country music, I would think they surely would have brought a pretty good crowd in. Hey, we got a phone call. I'm going to go see if it works.
Please do.
Hi, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Do you want Garth's wife's name?
Yeah, what's her name?
Teresa Yearwood.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Well, the second wife. Sandy was the first wife.
What was her name? The first wife? Oh, I think I might have lost her. Okay.
Sandy.
Sandy was, he had his kids by Sandy. I don't know if he has two or three daughters, and then he married Teresa Yearwood, the redhead.
Okay. Thanks so much. You're helping me out. All right.
Is that who is more famous than he is, Trisha Yearwood?
I guess not. Never
I think
mind.
You're talking. See, you don't even know who you're talking about,
I'm
Glenn.
I'm going to have to go have a glass of wine or something. I need help today. I've been laughing all morning, so obviously something's wrong with me.
Well, hopefully people are laughing right along with us at home.
You know, I was wondering...
740-383-9944.
I was wondering if our phone problem is when we get on three-way. You know, when you and I and somebody calls in, if the three-way thing kind of throws it up. But I'll let you worry about that later.
Throws it up?
Throws it up.
Throws it up.
Kind of
isn't it throws it off? Not throws it up.
Whatever.
Oh, all those years at the Columbia Broadcasting School have certainly paid off here.
It only took me a year to get through Columbia Broadcasting.
They must have blew you right through that school.
I'll tell you what, it took me 9 years to graduate from college, so it took a full year to do the Columbia School of Broadcasting.
Oh, my word, what a mess. 740-383-9944, call in. Oh, here's another story for you. Sure. You know, I don't want to get into the politics because you've got your political show next hour. But
if I can
Ted
hear
Williams
him.
Was on, hello?
If I can hear him, I will.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Listen, I've heard that show with you and Dr. Feynman, and you aren't necessary half the time.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Yeah, he just goes, you say hello, and he's off on his way.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. Maybe. Okay. Now, Ted Williams was on, and what he said was, kind of interestingly enough, he said that since we now know who the gubernatorial candidates are going to be here in Ohio come fall, that he would like to work. He endorsed Nan Whaley, by the way.
Oh.
And he said he would be interested in working for her campaign in a communications department way. But he also said that if some issues are not addressed, like homelessness, veterans, housing, and jobs for people who are being released from prison, that he still might get in as a write-in candidate. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, you know, people wrote Ted Williams off as a joke, but listen, Blystone had no political experience. He won 22 counties in that primary. And now we got Dr. Oz leading in the Senate primary in Pennsylvania.
Very, very narrowly, though. By like 2,000
votes.
Yeah,
but what
in
the world? Why is Ted Williams any more of a joke than Blystone or Dr. Oz?
Well, I don't think he is a joke. I'm not sure he can. I looked up the other day. I was all excited because I was really mad at our congressman. And I thought, I'm going to run against him. So I looked up, but it's too late to even do it as a write-in vote. So.
Well, you can get in as a—I mean, all you have to say is write me in, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's—yeah, okay. But
I'll tell you what, you know what? I think a write-in candidate can win now.
You do?
Because if you dislike the major candidate enough— to find out who the write-in candidate is, and you get enough attention on yourself, it could happen.
I doubt it.
I don't know. You know what?
I don't either.
I've seen school board members do that because they don't want the other person so much. It's not so much that they want the write-in candidate. It's that there's such an anger toward the other candidate.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid that's the way the American public votes anymore, is not how good somebody is, but how bad the other person is.
Right, but what business does Dr. Oz have being a senator?
Well, same business I do if I would run for Senate.
I mean, what that he had that terrible show. Is that even still on the air?
I kind of liked his show, but no.
I watched that show maybe one time. And all he does is tell you everything you're going to die from.
Well, I didn't listen to it as a regular, but I listened.
No, that was one show, and I said enough of this.
Yeah, you know he looks. He doesn't look very well. I saw him on TV last night, and he looks way too skinny. I don't know what's the problem with him.
Can you imagine here in the Senate, Dr. Oz casts his vote?
And is he really a doctor?
But, I mean, why are people voting for people who have no experience? And, I'm just confused. I don't understand anymore why people vote for who they do. You know, it's America. Anybody can run. But it used to be if you ran and you didn't have the qualifications for the job, people wouldn't vote you in. Well, something different has happened now, and we'll vote anybody in.
Well, the problem is, What type of experience do you want? Is being alive not experience?
No. I want you to have been on city council. You know why? Here's the problem. Okay, like our city council right now had a big issue with this coming together on an agreement for the pay for the sanitation workers and the transit workers and all those people. And because they didn't get a vote done on that within 30 days, it lapsed. It just automatically passed.
Yeah.
Now, they all learned that on the city council level. Now, nobody knew that was the way it is. That's why you start low and you learn stuff like that, and then you get into the Senate, and then you become this and that or the other. You don't know those delicacies, fine-tuning things. I think just walking into a state job like that would be very difficult.
Well, you know, when I ran for state Senate or for state Congress, I really didn't know what I was stepping into, but I knew that I believed that my opinions were the right. They were good opinions. I believed that my opinions were thoughtful. I believed that my opinions were honest, and I thought that I could learn that stuff. There are people out there that are in office right now that haven't learned how to be honest. They haven't learned how to be fair. They haven't learned how to care about other people. And that's something you can't, it's tough to learn. Whereas you can learn how many times you have to show up for a roll call vote or something like that.
Yeah, but here's what I want to be very clear what my opinion is here. Dr. Oz or anybody has the right to run.
Yeah.
That I'm not saying they don't have the right to do it. What I'm saying is we vote people in this country. What I'm confused about is when the people of Pennsylvania went to the polls yesterday, what is the reason to vote for Dr. Oz? He has no experience. He's a TV person, a doctor. But this is a state senator job, one of two senators representing your state, and you're not choosing him.
Well, first of all, he's not from that state, but he was.
Who?
Dr. Oz is not really from that state.
Well, there's another problem.
Yeah, but so he was endorsed by the former president a lot of people like.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you can endorse who you want. But what I'm saying is, when you go to the poll, what can he help you with? What are people voting for him for?
They're voting for the former president. That's all they're voting for.
So you think if Dr. Oz had not been endorsed by the former president, that he would not, his name alone wouldn't carry anything?
His name will carry something, but I think he would not be 2,500 votes to the good. I think he'd be at least 2,500 votes to the bad. I think that Trump's endorsement of him certainly helped. Well, look at J.D. What's his name here?
J.D. Vance. And see, now this, but that's okay. You know what? That's fine. Endorsements have been going on since time immemorial in politics.
And believe me, they
and you
don't
know
mean
what?
Much.
This is what the Democratic Party better learn, is that Trump's endorsement does mean something, and people are acting like it doesn't.
Well, I think most of the people I listen to who are Democrats know that it means something. Matter of fact, I think a lot of my Democratic friends are happy that he's endorsing people, because I think we're starting to see the waning of that, of the interest. He's getting kind of boring. Even his own followers, who follow him like crazy nuts, even they are, his crowds are diminishing. I think people are getting just a little tired of his game.
Well, I'm just more interested in Dr. Oz at this point, because I'm interested in the mind of a voter in Pennsylvania that thinks that Dr. Oz would make a good senator for your state.
Okay, we got a phone caller. Let me go to it. All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Glenn. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
This is Pastor Craig.
Hey Pastor. Craig. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, I have an answer to your question, Scott. When
go
you
ahead.
Said, what are people voting for when they go to the polls with Dr. Oz?
The same thing that they voted for with Blystone, with he had no political background, or with Donald Trump. They're voting whatever he says is his stand on the issues.
Right, but I guess if you have a choice, let's put it this way. If my car, if my transmission goes out, and I have a guy over here who has worked on transmissions for 30 years, and I have a guy over here who tells me how to fix my transmission but has never worked on one, who am I going to hire?
Well, if you apply that same philosophy to people running for political office, then nobody would ever get elected the first time they ran.
That's right.
Because they have no political experience.
Well, but I think there are different levels. I think a city council person is kind of like mechanics school. You know, you really can't do a lot of damage. You're confined to a certain area. There are a certain amount of city council people, so one person doesn't have all the control. A state senator that goes to Washington, there are two in every state. You don't live in that state. You don't stay in that state most of the time. You go to Washington, and you're dictating national policy, not city policy.
We got a beeping. I hope you're still there. Are you still there?
Yeah, the phone was breaking up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah but struggling. I mean, people can vote for whoever they would like. I don't know where we've gotten to where people start on the national level now and not the city level. I mean, it used to be, if you would look at who ran for mayor, it was people who were either county commissioners or city council people. You couldn't just come out of your house and say, yeah, I'm going to run for mayor, because that's a job that it's a full-time job. I'm just confused on where we've gotten. Anybody can run. I'm not saying these people can't run. I'm just confused on what the voter is voting for.
Well, you know, the reality of it is it was never intended to be a full-time job. The founding fathers, when they, you know, when they organized everything, they expected their representatives on the national level to be there for a short period of time in Washington to do the country's business and then come back home and, you know, do their regular job. So really the answer to your question is what's happened is we've gotten to the point where it's become a full-time job and it's become a full-time career. And what happens is these politicians in Washington who have got a 20-year career and 30-year career have lost touch with reality.
Well, let me.
You know what's interesting, though? You know what's interesting? If we look at the founding fathers, I can't think of any person who was in office in the early days. I'm going to say this because I know for sure. Our first four presidents were all involved either in the Revolutionary War in a high position or involved in the writing of our Constitution. They weren't just Jim who lived in Virginia. You know, that's what I'm confused about. They say that the founding fathers didn't want you know, these to be full-time jobs, and maybe they didn't. But I'll tell you what, we have the general of the Revolutionary War, we have John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Madison, who were all involved in the writing of the Constitution. It's not like those people were names in their day. They wrote that Constitution that they were governing by.
Well, when I ran for the state office, I talked to a lot of people down in Columbus, and I said, well, how many days of the week do I need to be in Columbus, and how many days of the week do I need to be in my district? And I was told, well, there's one guy who's a state senator that only shows up once a month because that's required. So there are people that just do it as a part-time thing.
Well, and another part of this problem is it really is about favorability. Now, here's the other problem. We've got politicians, like I'll give you an example. We've got politicians who have been in office for more than 10 years. That's a long time. And they're running again and again and again. Now, I guess if you like that person, keep on voting for them. But if we don't like them, vote for the person with no experience. It all seems to be, I don't know, very ambiguous.
It's kind of...
Well,
Go ahead, Pastor.
I think it's good. I wouldn't vote for Dr. Oz, me personally, but I think it's good that we're getting people like Dr. Oz and we're getting people like Blystone and who don't have a political career and still can see things the way, you know, other way normal people live.
My question is this, because these are all primaries. Could Blystone have won in the main? I would guess no, by the way the votes came in. Will Dr. Oz win in the main? In Pennsylvania, I don't know. I guess that's also part of the equation here. Are people doing what's best for their party? Because in the end, Blystone would have had to have run. It would have been Nan Whaley, who has been a mayor, who does have some political experience. And Dr. Oz is going to run again. I forget who the guy is in Pennsylvania, the Democrat, but he's got political experience. Now, I don't know. It's a strange thing, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The guy he's running against, I believe, is the lieutenant governor currently. So,
right. And so you got the lieutenant governor of the state, and you've got Dr. Oz, who has had a television show.
Well, I'm kind of with the pastor on this. I think less political experience probably is better for the human condition, but more political experience tends to get the vote. That's all I can say.
Right. Oh, I think the pastor's dead on why it's happening. But my question is the deeper why. Why is politics the only job we don't want experience in?
Good question. I think we'll all agree on that.
That's a good question.
Well, thanks, Pastor.
Have
Greg.
A good all show right, at thanks. 5, Pastor.
Have a great day.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, he seemed to be able to hear us. I hope that things are getting better.
You know, and I do agree with the pastor. Yeah, it's very good right now to say, I'm not from Washington and I'm going to come from the outside and fix it. But my question is to the people who are voting them in, you do want an experienced mechanic. You want an experienced teacher. You want an experienced administrator. You certainly want an experienced doctor. Now, if my heart went dead, I'd want Dr. Oz.
But what is good political experience? I think good political experience is intelligence, concern for other people, and honesty. And that's something you can... you can get
outside.
Does he
know anything? I mean, has anybody quizzed him? Was he in any debates? Does Dr. Oz know anything
well,
about being a state senator?
Right now, I think most Republicans are saying they don't want to be in debates. So I don't know that he has been in a debate.
Well, you know, I if he knows something, okay.
Well, he knows how to be on TV. That's what Donald Trump knew.
Well, I don't know. Everybody goes back to Donald Trump, and frankly, a lot of people love Donald Trump, and
yep.
His endorsement does still matter, and a lot
sure
of
does.
People really don't like Donald Trump. But the end result is he won the election, and he was president, and for the rest of his life, he's going to be a former president, and whether people like that or not, that's the way it is.
Yep, yeah.
So,
and I keep having to correct you on this. He didn't win the election. He won the Electoral College.
You know, here's my problem with that. And you're exactly right. But here's the problem. I think that's being said to diminish him.
It is.
And,
that's why I
right,
said it.
Right, right, right. But George W. Bush did the same thing.
I do. I agree with that, too. Okay.
Right. But I don't remember a whole lot of people saying that with George W. Bush.
Well, you didn't live in my household. So.
No, but I'm just saying it seems to be more of a diminishing remark against Donald Trump. And, you know, he didn't make the rules. That's how that
no,
game is played.
Absolutely, and he won by the rules, and that's fair.
Right. So that's all.
Okay.
And In any event.
I think the rules need to be changed, but that's another story.
You know, I don't know.
And they won't be. But.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that if you're a Democrat, you probably want them changed. And if you're a Republican, you probably don't.
Well, I probably agree with that, too.
Yeah. So, you know what? And it's a funny thing because to me that's not a political issue. Because if it were the Democrats that were losing in the Electoral College, I bet you they would not want it changed. No, this is all about.
I've wanted to change since I knew that there was such a thing as the Electoral College.
Yeah, but has a Democrat ever lost the Electoral College?
I don't believe so.
Right, so there you go. But we've had two Republican presidents who didn't get the most votes but won the presidency.
Yeah, that seems strange to me in a democracy.
Now. To get away from that,
okay.
Enough Dr. Oz. I heard something the other night that I thought was fascinating.
Okay.
When it comes to news, because, you know, there's been this discussion about should we have an opinion as news people? We had that discussion last week. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure to bring this up because a lot of people on this station do have very strong opinions about not just politics, but other things.
Sure.
And here is why. I heard something on television not too long after we had that discussion last week. And here is why, best explanation I can come up with on why I try very hard not to take a side politically or on an issue on the air. I mean, obviously I have my own opinions, but here's why. Here's the problem. If I come in and I've already made my mind up on something that I think this person should win or I think this issue's right. If I come to the air that way, I'm going to see and hear things that I want to see and hear. I'm going to agree with things that I want to favor my opinion. If I try as hard as I can to come to it with no opinion, I'm going to see it with 20/20 vision. And I do liken this to a baseball game. How many announcers are homers? You know, they work for the Reds, so they want the Reds to win.
Yeah.
So they're harder on the team they're playing, even though that team might not be making the mistakes that they're making. If you come to a game, even though you work for the Reds, with 20/20 vision, you're going to call that game fair. And I think that's the problem with having an agenda as an announcer. Again, you can do whatever you want. I mean, I would never tell somebody their style is wrong, but you do tend to see and hear things that favor your own opinion.
Well, I don't know how you do it, quite frankly, and I know you do it, and I'm glad you do, and I'm proud to say you're a friend of mine. I don't know how you do it, but I think that there are people. I imagine Walter Cronkite came to the microphone with opinions, but he didn't express them. And I think that's the key, not expressing your opinions.
Well, I'll tell you, years ago, we had Jim Jordan on the show.
Yep.
And it wasn't even a political question. It was about the whole Ohio State thing. And it was a live interview, and I asked him about that. And it... people listening thought he was rude to me. Now, I never felt that because I thought it was a fair question. I wasn't doing it for any political reason. And I was not convicting Jim Jordan. I was asking him questions. Now, to me, that's the example of what I'm saying. I'm saying if I had come to that interview disliking Jim Jordan, Jim, you did this. You know you did this. Why are you lying?
Well,
because that's what I would have wanted to hear. If I came to that interview liking Jim Jordan, I would have probably never asked him the question. But I came to it with no agenda. So all he got was a question, and I didn't feel he was being rude to me. The audience spelled it. Well, so there you go.
Now, he came to it with a different facts. He had been asked that same question by a dozen reporters, some of which wanted to nail him to the cross and others wanted to protect him. So he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and he doesn't know that you're not coming to it with any chip on your shoulder.
Right. Well, I mean, and you can answer a question any way you want. All I'm saying is I did not think he was being rude to me. Some people did, but I did not come to it with so I don't think he was rude. I thought he was answering the question.
Well, and he kind of has. I've only met him once, and I spent probably 2 hours in his company. I was at an event when he was first getting into politics, and my impression of him was that he was rude the whole time. So, or if not rude, at least self-serving the whole time. But there are a lot of politicians like that. So
that's the problem, though, I think. If you were to interview Jim Jordan, when you bring that to the interview, subconsciously or not subconsciously, it does influence the line of questioning.
Oh, absolutely. And I would never deny that if I were to – that's why I don't say that I'm a newsman, because I have my opinions, and I'm going to tell you what my opinions are. And that's why if I would ever supposed to interview him, I would want him to know where I stand. So.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with having people with opinions. All I'm saying is that the reason – that's why I try to do it.
Yeah.
Because I hear so often people say things on the air that are not true. But I know they're saying it because they already came to that interview, or they already came to that issue with their mind was made up.
Yeah.
So they heard everything they wanted to hear. If I had come to that interview with Jim Jordan already deciding on if he had done that to the Ohio State wrestling team, I would have either nailed him to the cross or never asked him a question.
Yeah.
That's not good for the listener who we're supposed to be advocating for. You're supposed to ask him the question. His answer, now you can believe his answer or say he's full of beans, but that's the audience choice, not my choice.
Yeah, and I think that's the way news people should be, and I think only about 10% of them are that way. Hey, I got to tell you something.
Go ahead.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I'm just a proud grandfather. Both my son and my grandson and my granddaughter just took one more step last night towards the North Carolina State Championship in baseball and softball. Okay.
Very
I'm done.
Nice.
I'm done.
No, congratulations. That's great. But and very quick, because I know we're running out of time here, but, you know, Blystone, I had that with Blystone the first time he was on. And interestingly enough, it was all over the vaccination question. And I asked him if he had been vaccinated. Now, the reason I did that was because he was telling people not to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a fair question. If
it
you
is.
Don't tell people what to do, then you don't have to tell me if you're vaccinated or not. But when you tell people not to, I think they're entitled to know if you are or not.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we went around and around, and you know what people said to me? He will never come back on your show. He will never, after that, he'll never come back. You know what? He came back two more times.
Yeah.
And the reason was he knew the balance of that interview was not about me trying to get him. It was because I explained, I said, Mr. Blystone, when you tell people not to get the vaccination, you're entitled to tell them if you get the vaccination, if you're running for office, because it seems hypocritical if you got it and you're telling everybody not to get it.
Well, we have nothing if we don't have hypocrisy in politics.
Well, but you know what? Like I said, he came back two more times, so I gained a lot of respect for Joe Blystone.
Good.
Because after that interview, everybody said he'll never come back. Well, he did.
I didn't say that to you.
No, you weren't one of them, but there were people who said, boy, oh boy, he'll never be back.
Hey, we're down to our last 30 seconds. What do you want to say?
Fascinating show today, I think. Catch your show coming up next hour.
Right.
Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond at 4, live at 5. Show with No Name with Pastor Craig, who called in. Thank him for calling in.
Yep.
Nate Redmond and possibly Terry Tackett and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon. at 6:10 p.m. tonight. So all kinds of great programming.
We never know if Terry's coming in or not.
No, and we never know what's on his shirt.
Yeah. All right.
See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed.